Good afternoon. My name is Kathy Connor, and you are listening to Kathy's Corner on WPKN 89.5 FM and streaming online at WPKN.org. My show is part of a series that airs on this station during the week from 12 noon to 1 p.m., where experts share their knowledge and expertise. And my hope is always to inspire you as well as inform. My show now airs less frequently. I'm on the fifth Wednesday of the month, but sometimes less is more. My expertise is consciousness. And why talk about consciousness? Okay, we're going to get to that. But first, what is consciousness? Consciousness is awareness. It's intelligence. Waking, dreaming, sleeping, these are states of consciousness. They are physiologically different from each other, subjectively as well as objectively. So that means their experience is different, that's the subjective, and they can be measured as different, and that's the objective. There are different brainwave patterns, blood chemistries in every state of consciousness. That's why when you go to the sleep clinic, they can tell if you're awake, dreaming, or sleeping. Throughout the 24-hour cycle, we experience different states of consciousness as one changes into the next. And it's always my pleasure to speak about the 45 years of learning and experience in the field of consciousness and the knowledge how to unfold more of its value from within the mind, the instrument of our awareness. I'm the director of the Transcendental Meditation Program in Fairfield County, Connecticut. TM is a specific form of meditation which regularly and systematically provides the experience of the inner value of life, direct contact with the finer fields of the mind in order to unfold the qualities of a higher state of consciousness. In other words, there's a lot more we can use from deep within the mind. And it's like, you know, unfolding consciousness is like clearing off the fog from the mirror or moving the clouds that are blocking the sun for a better beach day. And this is the summertime, so we can all relate to that. Now, if you've heard the show before, you know the theme is to unfold the inner life for more successful outer life. And if you're finding us for the first time, welcome. I hope you enjoy the show today. In every show, I like to emphasize that life moves in two modes. There's rest, there's activity, there's inner, there's outer. And I also relate these mechanics of life to something specific, something topical. The outer, the active world, we all know pretty well. There's not a lot more we can talk about there. There's an expert for everything you can think of. And in this age of technology, anything you need to know is right at your fingertips. It's the inner value of life that we need to know more. And it's in the inner, in consciousness, at deeper values, where we find deepest peace. And that's why it's called inner peace. Now, my last show was mid-May, and that was before George Floyd lost his precious life and the straw broke the long-suffering camel's back. People of all races and ages took to the streets to protest that things have to change now. So today, I want to discuss how the role of unfolding the inner value of life, consciousness, and the experience of unity it affords can remove the fear and ignorance we see in some segments of society still, where differences dominate and unity is lacking. There is unity among us as humans and plenty of diversity. We tend to focus on the diversity, and those are the differences. But there are two values, remember. The differences exist. That's our common experience. We're not denying that at all. However, it's unity that we desire. That's the harmony and happiness that comes from the wholeness. It's the unity that supports the diversity. We don't know much about this part of life because it hasn't been exposed to us. We haven't had the experience of it enough for it to be part of our life. But we know absolutely a lot about the diversity. In fact, it's become overwhelming. So my intent is to show you the damage on the surface of life is directly related to the lack of experience of unity, harmony, and inner peace. This unified, peaceful state of equanimity is not a fabricated experience. It's not an imagined experience. It's not a Hollywood experience. It's a direct experience of wholeness integrated into daily life for practical, harmonious living. So the images we see today of people uniting to point out the atrocities of the current or past actions of our governments and society is long overdue. We're being reminded that differences are there, but so is unity, which has been eliminated from the equation pretty much. Every culture contributes to the diversity of life and has its place and value in the whole that is our planet Earth. This is cultural integrity. This is cultural dignity. All the cultures of the earth together create a beautiful mosaic. All the differences making one unified whole create something grand and is more beautiful and greater than the sum of the parts. Okay, here's an example. You can take a car apart piece by piece. You can name every element, but now, taking it apart, it's no longer a car. And the car isn't useful. It doesn't run and take us places. Its usefulness, its value has been lost. Now, if we take each piece and we put it back together, we now have something greater than the sum of the parts. We have a car that's useful. It can take us places, some fabulous places. So like that, we can take each culture and examine it, but taking it apart out of the whole affects the wholeness of the world we live in. Each culture of the planet has equal value, and it's brought value to the whole, and the whole is what it is because of the parts. We call it the whole wide world. Well, at least that's what a child would say, and their innocence is actually very correct. So, in the spirit of that innocence and wisdom, my very special guest today has both. She's wanted to be a guest on my show for some time, and now is that time. So my special guest today is Haley Connor. Haley is a new 13-year-old. Her birthday is July 4th, also the birthday of the United States of America. But so she is also a brand new teenager. And I have known Haley her whole life because I'm her grandmother. Haley's dad is African-American. Haley's mom is my stepdaughter, and she's Caucasian. Haley is a kind, sweet, caring blend of two races. Her ancestry DNA has quite the list of countries. There are quite a few from West Africa, some from Europe. She's from England and Scandinavia, and she has quite the interesting mix. Interesting fact, Haley has two aunts on the maternal side. Her mother has twin half-sisters, and these sisters are direct descendants of slave owners in Virginia. Now, here's what's interesting. Haley's dad, his family, are direct descendants of slaves from Georgia. Now, it's interesting how Mother Nature puts families together, and if you're a regular listener to the show, you know I speak a lot about the intelligence of nature and that nothing is random. So Haley is a beautiful mix of both cultures. So, hello, my sweet Haley, and welcome to the show. Let's start with why you wanted to be a guest today.
Well, to start, I wanted to be a guest on your show since I was little and found out that you hosted a radio show, and I want to give my take on what's happening in the world today.
Well, it's great that you're here. So what is your take on the condition of the world today and your impressions with what's happening with the Black Lives Matter movement?
I'm happy people are protesting because they need to be heard with the message they have been saying since Martin Luther King was alive and before that too. Symbols of racism like statues and Confederate flags are being removed because we as a society are more aware of how offensive these symbols are to us all. You don't have to be African American to be offended by these symbols. I think we all saw that the protesters were a mix of peoples, all ages and races. Even with COVID-19 going on, people came out and countries around the world saw what was going on in the U.S. and reacted with protests against racism as well. Time and time again, we have protested, and I think this time it has made a bigger mark on the world. Martin Luther King's efforts were important in getting better treatment of African Americans, but more needs to be done to change. It's simple, really. We are all part of this country, and it's like a family, should be treated equally at all times for all reasons. Just because we have different skin tones doesn't mean we are not one and the same. We all have red blood running through our veins. We are all children of God.
Well, that's really insightful, Haley. Thank you for sharing that. I'd like to ask you, and of course this is maybe a little painful for me to hear, but have you encountered any experience of racism in your life? And you grew up with predominantly a white family members surrounding you. And just if you're interested to tell me how honestly, did you ever feel different?
Yes. Several times I've been with my brother and people have assumed we are not related or I'm adopted because my brother and I have different skin tones without knowing our story. Once at school during recess, a kid who knew we were siblings assumed I was an adopted child without seeing any of our other family members. This kind of assumption has happened multiple times, and it made me wonder, why doesn't anyone think my white siblings are the odd man out? Why did they assume it was me? Once, when I was very little, and it was my brother's birthday, and we were at Chuck E. Cheese, my white grandfather was carrying me and taking me to the car because it was time to leave. One of the workers stopped us at the door because we don't look alike, and even though I called him my grandfather, my mother had to step in and tell them we were related, so he wasn't arrested for kidnapping me. We actually share family features, and it's easy to see, but if someone just looks at the surface, like skin color, they will not see how we are alike. My story is not as terrible as some, but it does show that if a person is judged for a surface look, like skin color, that is what racism is. Just looking at the surface and not seeing the connection on the whole level. I have been around you for 13 years, so I know this concept well. Sometimes I felt different because I was raised in a white community and I am mixed. I'm mixed race. So it's clear that I am not 100% white and I don't have the same cultural experience that African American children have. But I do keep in touch with my black roots through my dad and his mother, my other grandmother, and my aunts and uncle in Georgia. I love all my family. I see myself as a bridge between both cultures.
Well, that's really, really sweet. I think it's a unique experience that you have. You're comfortable in both cultures because you are both cultures. And that's what, you know, that's what this is all about, just understanding each other. I'd like to ask you, Hales, if you don't mind. I know you're just 13 and things are just opening up for you for your own life. But how do you see your generation contributing to changes that need to be made and are being made in the U.S. today?
I see changes happening now. And because of technology, we can use our social media platforms to create continued change and awareness and boost Black Lives Matter issues in ways that previous generations could not. This comes second nature to us. It was the TikTok generation, by the way, that stymied Trump's visits to Tulsa. A big difference between generations in the past and this generation is more aware of accurate history. Speaking of Tulsa, for example, you told me you never heard of some of the atrocities that occurred in American history in school, like the massacre at Tulsa in 1921 and other similar awful incidents of extreme racism in the U.S. history. They were not in the history books. For a long time, our own history has been whitewashed, but now the truth is coming out and we can see what has been hidden. You have told me time and time again that the truth always comes out, no matter how long it takes.
Well, that is a good lesson, and I'm glad you have learned it. In fact, there's a beautiful expression from the Vedas. And again, if you've heard this show before, TM, Transcendental Meditation, comes from an ancient tradition, a Vedic tradition. It's the same tradition where yoga comes from. But there's a beautiful Vedic expression, Satyameva Jayate, and it means truth triumphs. So when those think that they can hide the truth, it will come out eventually. And that's how I see what's happening now. Layers are being exposed of what the truth is, and people are recognizing that these statues that we've honored people for generations, really, they actually weren't such great people. So we're deciding, yeah, enough of that. So, Hales, do you have any final points you want to make before we continue on with the value of consciousness and in eradicating the disharmony in life?
Just a few last things I'd like to say. I'm inspired by the fact that I can be helpful and state what I have learned being mixed race and have both white and black in my DNA. I am proud of who I am. I am hopeful that changes we are seeing now will take us to a new level of harmony in our relationship with others, not judge for surface values and love from one heart to another. Thank you for letting me participate and state my piece and contribute to this ongoing conversation. We are talking, we are meditating, and we are making a difference.
Thank you, Haley. Words of wisdom from your generation. And it is encouraging to know that your generation does see the truth more clearly, is exposing the truth, and will be living the truth as you move into the leadership positions when we all have to move on. So thank you for your words of wisdom. Thank you, Haley, for your input, and I really appreciate it, and I'm happy you were able to fulfill your desire and be on the radio show with me. How sweet. I want to continue our conversation about race relations. And I want to start with a quote from the founder of the Transcendental Meditation Program, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. This goes back decades now, but gave a talk once and someone asked him about race relations. And he said, conflicts between races and between political systems are based on stress, not on differences. You are only seeing differences as threatening if you are not at peace within yourself. Now, there's a whole lot of information there in that very short sentence, and it's very profound, really. So let's examine it for a few minutes. And let's start with stress. I think we all know stress, but it seems simplistic to say that stress is the factor here, but let's understand what stress is and what it does to the nervous system. Basically, stress is pressure. It's overload of pressure. It's undue pressure. It's actually defined as wear and tear on the nervous system. So it's really not unlike, say, rust on a nice car. And these are resistances. Stresses are barriers in our physiology, and they come from life experiences. So some stress is not so bad, and that can be neutralized with sleep. But a lot of stress that we have remains in the system because the depth of rest and sleep only addresses fatigue and not the chronic stress that builds up or is caused by more extreme pressure. And it's these resistances, these stresses, that hide our true value, like the rust on the car. If the nervous system is free from these barriers, stresses, then perceptions are clearer. And we know this. This isn't news. We have a good night's sleep versus a rough night's sleep. That makes a difference in how we react, even to the least little thing. Dr. Hans Selye was an Austrian-Canadian endocrinologist who coined the word stress in 1936. He was the director of the Institute of Experimental Medicine and Surgery at the University of Montreal, and he is considered by experts to be the world's medical authority on stress, and he was a pioneer on its relationship to disease. Dr. Selye defines stress as the nonspecific response of the body to any demand for change. So after several experiments on animals with pressure putting on them, he concluded that they responded to persistent stress over time with the same illnesses that people get, like hypertension, strokes, heart attack, ulcers, those kinds of things. So this finding was actually pretty revolutionary at the time, because previously scientists thought that illnesses were caused by different pathogens. And today, experts estimate that 90% of all modern disease is caused by or complicated by stress. And 75 to 90% of all doctor's visits have something to do with stress-related ailments. So stress is a big factor in our life. And welcome to the year 2020, where there's stress everywhere. Stress happens every day, and some is not bad, as I said. Some might even be useful. Dr. Selyeh called that kind of stress eustress, E-U-S-T-R-E-S-S, eustress. And that would be like, let's say you got an unexpected promotion, or you won the lottery. That's my favorite example is the beauty queen. When she wins, she's always crying. So I'm thinking to myself, you're beautiful. You got roses and money. What are you crying for? But it's the experience. It's the jarring experience that affects the nervous system. But even these experiences can cause wear and tear on the body. So later in life, Dr. Selyeh changed his definition of stress to the rate of wear and tear on the body. So we know that stress happens, but here's the real culprit. It's the accumulation of stress with no outlet. It just hangs out. It's like a cage. It's sitting there in a cage. It's getting ripe and ready to generate a symptom of imbalance. Okay, so that's stress. Now, what dissolves stress? The body has self-healing mechanisms, and one of those is rest. So sleep takes care of some stress, but not all of it, as we said. So why? It's because it's not deep enough for these deeper chronic stresses that have accumulated over a long time in many cases. The Transcendental Meditation Technique allows the nervous system to experience a deep yet different kind of rest. It's called restful alertness, and technically it's called transcendental consciousness. And as a result, the autonomic nervous system is more stable, it's more harmonious, there's more wholeness in the physiology. The best results of this systematic experience of deeper rest is the elimination of accumulated stress and the prevention of new stress. Okay, so that's an important point as well. If the nervous system is more resilient and flexible, then it handles the incoming stress a little more effectively. So during his life, Dr. Selyeh, he was aware of the TM technique. He passed away in 1982, so he was aware of TM. And what he said about TM was that the TM practice is a method that so relaxes the human central nervous system that it can live with stress better and prepares the nervous system for all kinds of activity. In other words, we don't get overwhelmed by the outer life because the inner life is more stable. So that's the foundation of our talk today. Now, consciousness in its purest state is within the mind, but blocked in large part by stress and also lack of access factors in here. If we don't have familiarity with these quieter levels of the mind, then you don't have familiarity with the quieter levels of the mind. With the removal of the deeper stresses, the value of the depth of the mind is also more available. So the resistance to the full utilization in life can be removed and has to be removed for the deeper values of the mind to be utilized. As simplistic as it may sound, it is a solution for unifying the differences that dominate society for so many. Fear of difference is a result of lack of this unity, because if you have this experience, then there's peacefulness. So if you've heard the show before, you know I like to talk about the brain. So for a minute, let's look at how stress affects the brain, just for a minute. We won't spend a lot of time on that. I know I've done that in other shows, and hopefully maybe soon again we'll actually get an expert to talk to us more about it as well. But a person's behavior is directly linked to brain functioning, and thinking precedes behavior. or even lack of thinking, but that we could call impulsive thinking. The thinking mind is affected by stress, and it's the thinking mind that produces expanded, flexible, harmonious, evolutionary perceptions, or narrow tunnel vision negative ones. It's all coming from the brain. Stress negatively impacts the brain. It shuts down the prefrontal cortex, that's the higher brain, and overstimulates the amygdala, that's your fear center, and that causes fear-driven, aggressive, violent, antisocial behaviors. Those are your perceptions. Acute stress on a societal scale similarly impacts the brain and behavior of everybody in society. That fuels crime, it fuels social violence, and it encourages narrow, systemic, racist thinking, which means that the brain has more boundaries and less unity. So violent behavior is rooted in the brain. I've seen research on this. It's pretty profound to see the brain of a normal person versus the brain of a violent person. This research was done a long time ago. But what it looks like, the brain of a violent person, their prefrontal cortex, remember, it looks like somebody poked holes in it. It's really not holes, but it's lack of ability for the system to function properly. So whether it's violent or ignorant behavior, it's all rooted in the brain, but so is good behavior. Expanded, flexible thinking is rooted in the brain. The most direct and ultimately the only way to transform bad behavior is to restore balanced brain functioning. So we're taking a brain-based approach to restoring balance, neurological functioning. And I'm not talking just from a scientific point of view where, you know, you go to the sleep clinic and see how the different states of consciousness are functioning. We're talking about a more profound level now. And to promote more balance, we just have to go to a deeper level, not just for the individual, but to benefit society. So access to the regions of the mind where greater order, efficiency, and peace reside, it's possible when the mind can go deeply, and that's what happens when we transcend. TM is a deep meditation. It's not one to correct something in the moment. It's a meditation to change the machinery of experience, the physiology, so that the individual changes. And that change is in the direction of being more in accord with the laws of nature. It is a systematic scientific program for the mind derived from the tradition of knowledge called Vedic tradition, and that dates back thousands of years. It's the tradition of the yogis. Yoga is a branch of the Veda. It's comprehensive knowledge of natural law. And in the TM practice, which is directly related to yoga, actually, the attention goes within, not with expectation or anticipation to achieve a specific result, but by engaging the very nature of the mind, moving in accord with the laws of nature. Why would somebody think they know better than nature? I ask myself. It's an experience of a fourth state of consciousness. It's different subjectively and objectively from the three relative states I mentioned at the beginning, at the introduction of the show. And those we know, waking, dreaming, sleeping, we've known those from birth. This fourth state is characterized by a high degree of order and alertness in the brain. At the same time, there is deep, profound rest in the body, deeper than sleep. There's 30% less cortisol in the blood, for example, when someone is doing this. Restful alertness, or as I mentioned earlier, the technical name is transcendental consciousness, is this fourth state. It's not an unusual state. You can experience this periodically throughout your life. Some people maybe more than others. You could call it the zone or runner's high or just an incredibly amazing moment when you're on the beach watching the sunset, or you could be folding the laundry. Waking consciousness represents a complex form of awareness, and that corresponds to a complex state of neurophysiology. But the brain is also able to sustain simpler, more integrated states of awareness, which corresponds to a more peaceful, restfully alert state at its depth. Now, that is consciousness at its deepest level, and it has a name as well. the deepest level of transcendental consciousness, where it's unencumbered by boundaries and stress, is called pure consciousness. And that's the basis for all of our thinking, all of our awareness. And this is a very unified state of awareness. It's regular access to this area of the mind, along with the normalization of the nervous system or the release of stress, that results in clearer thinking. And that results in more effective actions and more effective evolutionary behaviors. So how does something that gives deeper rest to the physiology affect race relations? But other narrow behaviors like gender bias or someone's sexual orientation, any kind of bias, any kind of fear of boundaries and differences means a lack of unity from within. By expanding the potential of the physiology, there's clearer, more harmonious thinking and less reactive negative behaviors. So if we go back to the car, it runs better if it's in better condition. And we need to add unfolding our inner potential and improving brain functioning to our priority list of self-care. It's as important as taking care of anything to improve our health. So just to come back to our point today of race relations, I just want to emphasize that every culture has contributed something for the world to benefit. The parts are useful toward a more balanced wholeness. We're always seeking wholeness. And you can call it balance. You can call it harmony or inner peace. We desire that. But we've been long caught up in the diversity of life to the extent that we think that that's the reality, that the boundaries are all there is. If I can't see it or touch it, then it's not real. Well, that's not true. We live in an age of quantum theory, so quantum physics. So you want to realize that if you believe that, you pretty much better hand in your smartphone. The mind also wants to get outside of its clutter and the tight boundaries and experience expansion, less boundaries. So who wants to sit in a cage? Either does the mind, by the way. Less boundaries that limit its potential, more unification. Well, we all wanted to get outside of this quarantine, remember? I actually kind of liked being inside, but then, you know, you get to a point where, oh, I got things to do. I want to go to the park. I want to go visit my family, my friends. So it's the nature of life to expand. And meditation that's its purpose, is to expand. It's actually become something people expect as a means to an experience in the moment. It's actually meant to be a process to unfold the inner value of life into the outer for greater harmony and success and higher states of consciousness all day long, not just in the moment. The experience of one's true value, one's ultimate value, that's what enlightenment is, and that's a balanced state. And we've discussed this in previous shows, and it is just what I said. It's using our full potential. Full means the inner is unfolded. The value of unity is part of our life in the diversity, not one or the other. It's an ever-changing field of life, yet we can have a stable inner state. So life in that kind of state, life in enlightenment, full potential, maintains the stable inner, the unity of life, and is not overshadowed by the objects of perception, which represent the outer, the diversity. Our own inner value is not overtaken by the influences of the outer any longer. What allows one to appreciate the outer for what it is a reflection of the unity of life, which you now have. It's not imagined. So we become aware that there is something underlying the changing value of life. There is a unifying value. And if we're not open to it, its full value, we can be. It is something to experience. We want to bring that into our awareness for fuller life. And getting on to that level is really not so hard because it's natural, but it's also precise. So you can't sit around and wait for it either. This experience of unity as the basis of diversity can only be real due to a refined machinery of experience. And that's your mind-body, your human nervous system. Open your awareness to that which is uniting the boundaries with the surroundings. When unity is stable, the differences are there, but so is unity. Diversity is real, and we're not dismissing that. It's part of the fun of life, the ups and downs, or challenge, you can even say. But when you're established in that evenness or equanimity, then life is different. Thinking is different. The differences aren't overwhelming. So I want to end with a few more points from this talk that Marci gave about the about differences related to stress. He said, being is the being of good. Now, he's using this word being, but I have used the word consciousness or pure consciousness. It's the same thing. Being is the being of good, and being is the being of bad, just like the sap in the thorn and the flower is the same. So whenever consciousness comes on the level of being, then that consciousness is able to reconcile between the opposites in life. That is the whole principle that is possible through TM, to bring a sense of harmony and love with all, compassion among all those who do not think the same way. People don't have to think the same way. No generation will produce millions of people thinking the same way. It's just not possible. It's the differences that make the world. It's not possible to eliminate differences. But by taking the consciousness on the level of that, which is the basis of all the diversity, and which is evenly present everywhere, bringing the awareness to that level, bringing our consciousness to that fundamental level of life, it is possible to reconcile between all the extreme odds in life. Attempts have been made throughout the ages to establish harmony by eradicating differences. But that approach is wrong. Differences can't be eliminated. Thinking can't be the same. Let all the people think differently, because all cannot think the same. It's physically not possible. And this is the reason why no generation has been able to establish unity or harmony or peace or love. Nothing, because the whole approach hasn't been natural. And any unnatural approach will not be accepted by nature. The only way for permanent peace, and peace in any society and all over the world, is that. Establish in that which unites, in consciousness. A fully developed heart and mind finds fulfillment in the depth of consciousness as its experience manifests in daily life. This is the benefit of wholeness, of unity becoming more familiar in the field of diversity. We can appreciate the diversity more on the platform of unity. We will treat each other better as a result of having more unity, harmony within ourselves. Person to person and nation to nation, we treat each other with the love and respect we all deserved. This is not a fantasy. It's a process to unfold what is already there within all of us. Life can be fully appreciated on the unity value and on the diversity value simultaneously. Man is material and spiritual, both values. The transcendental meditation technique allows the awareness to transcend waking, dreaming, sleeping, and experience the fourth state or transcendental consciousness by virtue of the very nature of the mind, the evolution of the mind. Life is enriched from here as wholeness becomes more familiar and stabilizes in our daily life. From the moment one begins this practice, cruder values are replaced by more refined values. We appreciate more, love more. The world is my family. Now, recently, a founding member of the civil rights movement passed away. Georgia Congressman John Lewis. I think we've all heard that on the news, and we're learning more about him if we didn't know about him before. And Haley and I want to end the show with a quote from Congressman Lewis.
You are a light. You are the light. Never let anyone, any person, or any force dampen, dim, or diminish your light. Study the path of others to make your way easier and more abundant. Lean towards the whispers of your own heart. Discover the universal truth and follow in dictates. Release the need to hate, to harbor divisions and the enticement of revenge. Release all bitterness. Hold only love, only peace in your heart, knowing that the battle of good to overcome evil is already won. Choose confrontation wisely, but when it is your time, don't be afraid to stand up, and speak out against injustice. And if you follow your own truth down the road to peace and affirmation of love, if you shine like a beacon for all to see, then the poetry of all of the great dreamers and philosophers is yours to manifest in a nation, a world community, and a beloved community that is finally at peace with itself.
Oh, that is such a beautiful quote from Congressman John Lewis, and it's inspiring that we can all have this same experience and live in harmony with one another as we enjoy each other's uniqueness. So, Haley, thank you so much for being on the show. I know this was a unique guest today, my granddaughter and sweet Haley, but she has a lot to say. And as the next generation of young people, she is aware. She is aware of what needs to happen. She has a grounding in her own self-worth that I'm very proud of her. And I look forward to all the wonderful things you and your generation are going to accomplish. So thank you very much for listening to our show today. You've been listening to Kathy's Corner on WPKN. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, I'm on less frequently now, just the fifth Wednesday of the month from 12 to 1. So the next show is September 30th, and I hope you can join me then. So thank you for listening, and Haley and I wish you love and deep peace.